And welcome back to Coaching with the Bible, the beginning of the book of Numbers, the fourth book of the five books of Moses, Bamidbar in the Hebrew. This week on harmony. The truth is that I never feel as connected to the culture here in Israel as I am when, obviously, I'm among Israelis, among the people from here. And getting to a sense of harmony, really connecting with people, is very hard when you move and you sort of understand that to some degree you're an immigrant. Getting to that sense of cultural harmony, of communal harmony, of really feeling connected to people, is not an easy thing to do when you grow up and you're from different parts of the world, and really sort of some sort of sense of linkage and symmetry and meshing requires real work. And I honestly feel it more and more as I'm here longer and longer, but I also feel it specifically in certain locations. The supermarket, the public markets in Jerusalem, when there's a lot of people haggling and shopping, and I feel it less when I'm on the highway, but I feel it very much actually where I am right now, because we are on location again today, getting haircuts before the holiday of Shavuot comes in. And so we're at the local barber, and I think we could not be more different in terms of our backgrounds, in terms of our upbringing. But we very much connect, and there's very much a sense of harmony when I'm in the chair and he's cutting my hair, and we're able to just really talk about what's going on around us, in the sense that we belong to the country and we fit the culture and the climate, and that we sense harmony and unity between us. And so that's sort of the beginnings of this week's conversation and the concept of harmony. Because I think where it comes in, particularly in the Bible this week, is maybe in a surprising place. The book of Numbers opens with an incredible detailing of the numbers of people in the people of Israel. How many belong to this tribe, and how many belong to that tribe, and who's going to lead this one, and who's going to lead that one, and what everyone's jobs are, and all these different things, and who's going to, you know, rest here, and who's going to rest there, and which side they're going to be on. There's a lot of details, and the truth is that very often that the forest can get lost among the trees, in the sense that we're so focused on just getting through every different verse, and we're so focused on the specifics of it, that we lose the picture, and the picture of the harmony and the unity and the beauty that was the encampment of the people of Israel in the desert. It's sort of an interesting structure in how it is built. The tabernacle at the center, the priestly families and the Levites surrounding it, Moses, Aaron also in the immediate next circle or square, and then beyond that all the tribes in different directions. Because I think a lot of people normally, when they think about large groups of people moving through the desert or moving in any way, they think of a long line. We think in our minds about old westerns and caravans and long caravans of people and cattle, horses and wares moving through. We think of long lines, but the people of Israel, as they camped in the desert, as they moved through the desert, it seems they moved in this formation. And at least that's how I understand it. Maybe I have that wrong, and by all means, let me know if I do. But there's a sense there of something different going on. It's actually first really discovered and mentioned in beautiful form by, of all people, Balaam, the famous prophet or ill prophet, whatever you want to call him, later on in the book of Numbers, who first really views the full encampment of the people of Israel from the hills. And he famously talks about how beautiful are the tents of the people of Israel. And so he's able to see for the first time how glorious and grand that nation is from a view above. There's sort of a harmony and a beauty. The idea that in theory you could see every other tribe, that you could see the tabernacle from every place where you were, that you could see Moses and the priests and the Levites around and surrounding it, that you could see the work going on in the tabernacle, that you could connect with people from other tribes, because it wasn't some long line of 2 million people, it was a square. And everybody was surrounding a center point. There's a beautiful sense of symmetry and harmony in that. And so I wanted to sort of share with you something related to that, which I think is interesting, because I think it's a harmony that we lose, and it's a harmony that we're lacking in many other places, and so many other distractions or other factors that get in the way of our ability to create unity, community, and harmony in the way that it's described in the Bible. And so many years ago, I actually used to get National Geographic, I admit it, as a on a monthly basis. And at the time, the reason I had gotten it was because I was serving as a rabbi in a synagogue. And admittedly, I was always looking for material for sermons. One friend once described it as sort of rabbis and clergy members are addicted to the next sermon. And so every story and every conversation and every interaction is always in the mind thinking, well, how do I use this? When am I going to use this? And what sermon is this going to be a part of? And I was a little bit that way, but other things were more deliberate. And one of the things that I was sort of deliberate about was that I would get National Geographic because, hey, I liked it and it was super interesting and I always like to learn new things. The articles often lent themselves to be used in different manners and often for sermons. And there was actually one that I actually never gave, and I have a folder of a couple of articles of sermons not yet given. And in one of them is an article, a really interesting article to me, was about how swarms of bees fly and how birds migrate in flock, and how schools of fish swim, and how that works from a scientific and biological perspective. I thought it was fascinating. Maybe you don't. And so I won't go into great depth of it here, but I think it's an important idea that the term actually used when describing fish swimming, a school of fish swimming in formation, is actually something called emergence. And emergence there with respect to the fish is the sense that it's beautiful to watch when you see the fish moving in that manner. It's amazing. You see a flock of birds in the sky, really the formation of them, and then the movement of them, an incredible sense of sync and unity and harmony among the different birds. And the reality of it is, in terms of what the science says, is that first of all, there's actually no one in charge, that they're really all in charge at the same moment, that none of them are in charge, and that they're very often very much moving and operating based on a feeling. So they have to stay close to each other, but not too close that they actually interrupt the flow of the other birds. So they're close enough that they can feel the other birds. Actually, with respect to the fish, there is an idea about the fish and the science that they actually have sensitive pores on their skin that's called lateral lines that allows them to really feel this almost like a charge from the other fish that are around them. So they have to stay close, but not too close. And the second one is that they always have to keep moving. So they're constantly have to keep swimming. The birds have to keep flying. There's no stopping. The moment the bird stops or a fish stops, they're exposed, and then they're open to predation, and they're basically finished at that point. So they have to stay with the flock, they have to stay with the school, and by doing so, they do it. But the way in which they fly and they move in the water is an incredible sense of what's called emergence, or harmony is the way we sort of think about it in terms. So there's a lot of interesting science on the subject and a lot of interesting data on how that works. Then the truth is that once you pull it apart, it doesn't actually work. Like, you can't really pull it apart and see it for the sum of its different parts and then really put it back together. You can sort of, you know, watch one fish swim, but it doesn't give you the same sense of the group of fish that are swimming together or what's happening when they are working in that way. And so it's important to sort of keep that in mind, that the observation of one bird in flight, which is beautiful. I just saw one fly by. One of the benefits of being on location is amazing and incredible and hard to fathom. When you see them as a flock, and here in Israel, migrating birds is a common theme during the course of the seasons, as many, many birds sort of fly through here during the course of the year as they migrate north to south. And so this concept of harmony and emergence in that sense, besides being beautiful, is very, very powerful, because it seems to me that that's exactly what's happening with the people of Israel as they're moving through the desert and as they're experiencing life. Now, the difference obviously there is a Moses and there is an Aaron, and there are leaders, and each tribe has a leader. But ultimately, everybody has to move, and they move in a manner that is harmonious and connected and enmeshed one with the next. Every person connected, every house moves with the next house. Then there's sort of the beauty in that unity and that harmony. And so it had me thinking about something we discussed earlier on in coaching through the Bible, coaching with the Bible, which is the sense of how we build teams and how we get teams to really work and perform. And so I came across a really great structure in how to build teams, because I think ultimately what we're looking for with our teams is performance, and we're looking to get to a place where we're high-performing teams. And we want to just sort of skip the first few steps, and there's a lot of ways to think about the development of teams. But it's clearly the case that with athletic teams or work teams or even the team at home, that there has to be some sort of sense of cohesion and unity. And it takes time to develop. It doesn't sort of happen overnight. I know as an avid sports fan, you'll see teams put together of superstars, and everyone thinks that they're going to win every game and they're going to blow everybody out. And the reality of it is that it takes time for even that kind of group of super talented people to mesh, to really connect. And so the structure that I wanted to share with you today in sort of team development and the idea more of team harmony is was developed in the 60s, late 60s, by a psychologist named Bruce Tuckman. And it's called Forming, Storming, Norming, Performing. That's right. Forming, storming, norming, and performing. That four-step process is what leads to team harmony. The first stage, the forming stage, is the team is coming together. You have picked the players, the people who are going to participate on a certain team. They don't yet know each other. They don't yet know each other's strengths and weaknesses. They don't yet necessarily even know the team's purpose or how and where each and everyone fits. And so it's a forming stage that's going on there that's really valuable, that's important. Everyone has questions and everyone's thinking and everyone's wondering. That's part one. Part two is storming. The storming period is where it gets a little stormy, and it does require some leadership, or just among the different players that they each lead in their own way, where people begin to push against the established boundaries. There's some friction and there's some conflict, and people are trying to establish and really appreciate what's the reality of this group that's coming together. Number three is norming, where they now have resolved the differences. They've moved. They've matured beyond some of those difficulties and those differences. If, as you're hearing this, you can think of the people of Israel going through this process, I think it very much fits. And that's why it's sort of brought up here. I can't speak for fish because I don't know them that well to be able to say that. But at least for people, this is definitely true, and certainly was true for the tribes of Israel. So the norming stages, they're resolving the differences. They can appreciate the strengths of the others, and maybe even respect the authority of the leader. And that's sort of happening in teams all the time. You're trying to get to that place. But of course, everyone's looking for the Holy Grail, which is the fourth step, which is performing. And in performing, that's where everyone's in flow, everyone's hitting their goals, everyone's meeting their potential, and you're really able to push people to really, really lean in on their talents and their strengths and their energies and their power, so that everyone can really perform. It's almost like, if you want to think about it, that even if someone drops a ball, someone's already there anticipating the ball being dropped, catches the ball, and moves on as if it didn't happen, as if it was expected, as if those kinds of things just are natural and they're normal occurrences. That sense of anticipation, that sense of connection, it's intuitive in nature to the degree by which it's almost automatic. And so in the same way that we see that when the fish sort of sense each other's presence and they're able to move because there's a closeness there, and that they operate and they move in harmony and in sync in that sense of emergence, so was the case with the people of Israel in the desert. And so it is the case that what we're trying to sort of build and trying to sort of work towards as we think about developing high-performing teams among the people who are in our employ or partners, or people at home, just sort of getting it into sync. We often find ourselves sometimes out of sync. There are moments that we definitely don't feel like we are connected and united. But at the same time, we're always looking to sort of build and be that way and get to that space and get to that point where we're a singular, unified, cohesive unit, really operating, even when we're coming from different backgrounds and different places. We really feel a sense of connection and unity in ways that we don't normally get to experience on a day in and day out basis. Okay, that's Coaching Through the Bible for this week. Look forward to seeing you next week. Those who are celebrating Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom. Those who are celebrating the holiday on Sunday night this week, the holiday of Shavuot, Pentecost, the celebration of the holiday of the acceptance of the Bible and the Torah given by God and to the Jewish people of Israel in the desert. Have a happy holiday as well.